Hello, I'm Dr. Rosina Bakari, your favorite empowerment expert. This is Healing Challenge 2022 podcast. I am here with my darling co-host, Dr. Stephanie Singleton. We're excited about bringing June to you today. What do we have in store for the people, Dr. Singleton?
Hi, everybody. I hope you hit that share button already, because here we go. For June, we are talking about getting unstuck. Yeah, I know that's a big one for a lot of us. How do we get unstuck? But never fear, don't worry. We have our empowerment expert here, Dr. Rosina Bakari, to get us through this. So one thing I really wanted to ask you, Dr. Bakari, because in this particular chapter, you mentioned you have exercises here about making mistakes on purpose. And so when I think of healing, I don't necessarily think about making mistakes. So can you really explain to us, why is making mistakes on purpose part of healing?
So this chapter in June, it's about getting unstuck. And the notion is that getting unstuck requires us to move out of our safety zone. A lot of times we get stuck because we're still trying to avoid making the big moves. Oftentimes when we're unstuck, sometimes it's because we don't know what to do. A lot of times it's because we're too afraid to know what inevitably we must do, whether that's let go of a person, place, or thing, whether that's somehow find the courage to take that next step and move out of our comfort zone. That means letting other people in that we're not used to letting in. That means maybe asking for help and we don't need to, finding a partner. There's some resistance in us that really doesn't have the faith, maybe the confidence, the efficacy, whatever big word you want to use, to take the next step. So the exercise on making mistakes on purpose is really about us to shake things up and release ourselves from the notion that we must be perfect in order to take the next step. So that's the purpose of the activity.
Okay. Just to kind of follow up, for a lot of people, when we talk about safety, being safe, I think of myself in terms of perfectionism. So you're talking about making mistakes on purpose. So how does this work for perfectionists or people who define themselves by what they do and especially how well they do it?
Well, this exercise is for you. That's exactly who it's defined for, because when we use perfectionism as a defense, right? And I can certainly relate to that. I've spoken about my own sense of perfectionism and how I've used it as a defense, right? Because if we're perfect, we are less likely to be rejected. So we think that's the story we tell ourselves. If we're perfect, no one will see us and we can remain hidden because there will be no mistakes to point out, right? There's a number of reasons that in our minds, we justify our need for perfection, which, let me tell you something, we only meet it in our minds because none of us are actually perfect to begin with. So perfection can really get in our way. And some of the ways it gets in our way is because oftentimes we don't start. We don't do the things we're not good at. And if you're not willing to do the thing that you're not good at, how do you grow? How do you grow without taking a risk and getting into that downslope where maybe you're the worst thing at this now? Like you have accumulated all this expertise, right? And you're really good at it. And now you don't want to go to the next step. Maybe someone wants to promote you to a supervisor. Maybe someone wants you to compete with something. Maybe, but you haven't done those things. And so your desire to be perfect and not be seen as flawed or incompetent or less than, right, will say, nah, I'm good where I am. Right. And so this whole thing about let me try on and move into allowing myself to see my imperfections, because they're there. No, even though, even for every perfectionist, we are failing at stuff, right? We just avoid looking at it, right? So oftentimes we have this thing in our lives that we're a lot better at than most people, and we tend to hang around that thing as part of our identity. But the truth is, we have lots of things in our lives that we're not perfect at. We just are not clinging to it as an identity. And so we want to broaden our bandwidth of life experiences by allowing ourselves to move into these experiences without holding the expectation that we have to always be the smartest one in the room. One of the keys, in fact, to success, many people will tell you, is never being the smartest one in the room. When you get to those higher points of success, you want to be learning from other people. You go in with your expertise, but if you're always the smartest one in the room, where's your learning come from? That's our goal in many parts. Find someone who's better at it than you. Find someone who's smarter than you. Find someone who has more money than you, if that's what you want, that's willing to give you some time, you know, so expand the bandwidth in which we live. We can't do that if we sit in our space looking for accolades for how good we are at things. So yeah, let's give ourselves permission to fail, and I use the word fail loosely because less than perfect to the perfectionist feels like failure. It's not. But I use that word because I understand that's probably what it's going to feel like, but it isn't. It's growth.
You brought up several things. Boy, when you said, you know, you don't want to be the smartest person in the room. You know, I remember Les Brown. A lot of people may remember know Les Brown as the motivation. I mean, I think he is like the best motivating speaker ever, motivator. And he said, if you have a crew and you're the smartest person in that crew, you need a new crew. So it reminded me of that. But I want to go back to something that you mentioned earlier about how people who are perfectionists want to be seen in a certain way. But as you described it, it seems we're the perfectionists, we are not actually being seen. We're not allowing ourselves to be seen, right? We have this mask, or we're putting up this facade, and we're not actually being seen. And that's like, because you said it's all about safety, right? This, yes, perfectionism. So it's fear-based. And is that fear that keeps us stuck?
Yes, thank you for clarifying that. Yes, oftentimes, not always, there are always nuances for people, right? But oftentimes being a perfectionist is people believe like, oh, they are perfectionists because it gives them accolades. A lot of times that's true, but not true. So, well, not necessarily true, because people may get accolades from what they do, that's not necessarily why they do it. Oftentimes, as you're clarifying, when people are perfectionists, it's because they don't want to be seen. So what you're saying is correct, that we hide behind the accolades so that you don't need to look at me. So when I ask you, when someone asks you, who are you? Like, you give them your credentials. You don't, right? And that should suffice. When you ask me who I am, I'm going to tell you about my degrees and my achievements and what I've been the head of, right? I'm not going to tell you about my experiences internally, the things that keep me up at night, the things I'm super attached to that I love and enjoy. I'm not going to tell you about the fears that I have about my relationship. I'm not going to tell you my concerns about my health. Nobody knows that I, you know, this and that. So those are the things that I, in the moments of my aloneness, that I think about and ponder and have concerns and issues and try and figure out and solve them without letting anyone in. right? Does that make sense? So what I have to show you are those things that you get to have accolades about, which when I'm alone by myself, may have very little to do with who I actually know myself to be.
So having said that, is it safe to say that fear is the basis of our unstuckness? Like, I know that's not a word, but yeah.
Releasing the fear. So, and the things that we're releasing the fear of to get unstuck, like when you ask yourself, but what if I fail? And I say, so what? Well, if I fail, so what? So what? Like part of the healing journey is trusting yourself, the universe, God, if that's a word that you relate to, trusting that you've been provided for up to this point, the future is going to be no different. Right? There's nothing that we have to cling to with the assumption that in its absence, we're no longer going to exist, or we're going to exist in some depleted state. That's not the case. That's the story our mind tells, but that is not the truth. And so along the healing journey, we have to come to understand that there is room for all that life has to offer, which includes making mistakes, being less than perfect, and still allowing people to show up in love with us. This idea that if we're less than perfect, someone somehow that makes us vulnerable to pain, and quite the contrary can be true. We sometimes find our pain by sticking to the perfection, right? But our mind is telling us, if we're not perfect, that's pain waiting for us. That's the lie that our mind tells.
I want to get to something. I thought I was muted. Sorry about that. I wanted to get to something that you say, and I think it's on, you say this, and this is on page 102. You say in 102, you have a diagram on 102, and in it you say, when safety is the goal, we miss out on the healthy grown-up stuff. And I just think just so powerful, because, you know, when you think about safety, on some levels, I mean, of course, we all want to be safe. There's, you know, safety, and then there's hypervigilance and being small, you know. And when I think about perfectionist, or me as somebody who is who would be just based in fear, not making the moves, any type of moves, and that's what's keeping me stuck. I think of just being small, just shrinking, and not, like you said, not really getting in life. You know, life is living me. Like, right. I wouldn't be necessarily living life, you know?
Right. Yeah. And sometimes, and this is super, super important, because sometimes we look at people, and just because they may be big doesn't mean they're not playing it small. And so when we talk about people living small in their lives, it's not a comparison to other people. It's a comparison to their own potential. So I might be to someone else like, ooh, six books, ooh, PhD, ooh, this, ooh, that. That doesn't mean that I'm not stuck playing as small compared to my potential. Right. So this isn't a comparison from person to person. That's why everybody has to be really honest with themselves and sit and ask, am I doing what I can be doing? And if I'm not doing it, is that because of fear? Am I stuck being complacent because I don't want to take the next step? You can be the senator. That's great. But if your real potential is to be the president, then being a senator means you're still playing it small, right? And if it's because you don't want to be the president, that's one thing. If it's because you're afraid of being the president, that's another thing, right? And so it's a self-comparison, not a comparison to the other person in the ways that we remain small in our own lives. Because when we, and this is super important, especially for perfectionists, because perfectionists often tend to be high achievers. That doesn't mean that we are the highest achievers that we can be, because that often means stepping into the zone of the unknown and working outside of our boundaries of comfort.
That is really a playback moment, you guys. That is a playback moment. You know, it's about comparing your potential, not somebody else, that the biggest person in the room can still be playing small. Yes.
Yes.
That definitely is a playback. You also written some real hot stuff for June Gems in the book. Can I get you to read the gem for June 1st?
Absolutely. One of my favorite. So June 1st, from the Daily Healing Gems for June. Healing patterns are not linear. We do not just get on the path and find our stride. We find the path. Look around, fall down, crawl, walk, turn around, run, jump, fly, break down, get lost, and blaze new trails. Then we do it all over again in a different order. None of this necessarily determines how much we suffer on the path. Suffering is about our resistance to something on the journey that we do not want to do or believe in. Remember, we can have pain without suffering and growth without pain. The healing journey is marked by the commitment to live our best lives. June 1st.
Wow. So you say here, we can have pain without suffering and growth without pain, right? Because yes. We're also, you know, that popular cliche now, no pain, no gain. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But what you're saying is you can have growth. It may be uncomfortable.
Yes. Right?
But right. That's even discomfort is different from being in pain.
Right. And we'll talk more and more about that, especially as people read through the book. But that's a topic in and of itself, you know, whether or not this addiction we have to pain that make us believe or buy into the myth that no pain, no gain, because all the research shows us that we grow with love, not fear. You want someone to grow? Give them love, water it with compassion and care. That's how you help someone grow, not by giving them pain.
I want to just go through two of the things, because you have a list here of activities for people to make mistakes on purpose. And so one is make contact with someone who could enhance your career. Invite them to lunch or set up an online meeting to talk about your work or ask for advice, right? And the second one is ask someone on a date that you think is out of your league, but you would like to get to know, mm-hmm. right? So that's challenging and that's scary, but that's what we need to take us out of that comfort zone.
And another reason why I want people to try these six things is because they're going to get some yeses. I want to present these challenges to people to compare to the myths in their head. Some of these people are going to say no, right? But it's about risk taking, but you're going to get some surprising yeses. So I want people to understand that just because the fear is in your head doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's going to happen. Number two, even when it does happen, just like you thought it would, and you're going to say, I knew it, the results are not going to be deadly. You're going to learn that you have more bounce back than you thought. So one, allow the consequences to show up differently than you expected. Two, allow the discomfort of the consequences to just be discomfort of the consequences, not an identity of pain.
So speaking about this discomfort, Okay, so how do we recover from a mistake? Because that's discomfort too, right? How do we recover?
By not being attached to it as an identity. So, and this is why we want to practice. And so when we hear that no, when we feel like we push back, when someone has noticed that we're not as good as the person sitting next to us, that's okay, because those are not identities for us. But when we take on this identity of perfectionist, then none of those things are okay. And so we bounce back by letting ourselves be free to experience the world and not define it, or not define ourselves by this notion of who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to represent all of the time. And so it's not about changing those outcomes. It's about changing what we commit to in ourselves. So once we learn to commit to fluidity, flexibility, discomfort, and open ourselves up to receive a variety of experience in the world, we're good to go. We just chalk it up to one more experience and one more opportunity that we took that's going to lead us closer to that next yes. Yep.
So as we're practicing, basically, right, and just kind of getting out of our comfort zone, we're like putting our big toe in the water first, and then maybe our foot, and then eventually we'll get up to our knees, right? How do we do this? How do we make these mistakes on purpose and avoid hurting people at the same time?
Ooh, that's a tricky question. I'm not sure that you have to. And so one thing I would caution is that we're responsible for our own feelings, behaviors, thoughts, and stuff. And so one of the things I first want to say, it's important that you don't try to own someone else's feelings. That's one way to stay miserable on your healing journey, is when you're constantly trying to help other people avoid consequences. It's difficult to live your life and someone else's. And so if it's about someone else is going to be uncomfortable because you make a decision that's good for you, it may be something that they have to work through. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's a problem that you should take on. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, in the instance where it does turn out way, way different than you expected, and someone gets intentionally harmed from it, that's what apologies are for. A lot of times we can divert that or avert that if we let somebody know up front, I'm trying something different. This is how I'm thinking it's gonna go. This is how I hope it's gonna go. If it doesn't go quite that way, let's sit back and talk about it. So I just want you to know, I'm not ignoring you. I'm not trying to do this on purpose. This is where I'm trying to go with it. And so sometimes we can avoid it with some upfront conversation about it, but owning and being clear with yourself about whose life you're trying to live, yours or someone else's.
I think that's just such a great point that you just made about when we're doing these things, not to take on other people's stuff and not to take on other people's feelings. And I'm thinking now, especially particularly about those of us who may be people pleasers right now and saying no, right? Because we're like, oh my God, I don't want to say no. And people are coming to us, right? Because they know, well, they're going to say yes, whether they really want to do it or not, right? And then what happens when you say that no and like mean it and don't qualify it, don't, you know, none of that, no explaining, no, you know, no is a complete statement, you know. Right. And then be worried about, oh, this person, oh, they're mad, oh, I hurt them, you know, that whole thing, you yep. know. So I'm really glad you spoke to that, because that does happen, because people, yep. we've taught people over time, right, how to treat us.
Yep.
Right. And then when all of a sudden you just like, you know, no, actually it's not all of a sudden, right, but it is a process. But when you get to that point where you can say, no, I'm doing something different now, or, you know, whatever it is, yeah. you know, sometimes people really do get an attitude and will try to make it about you.
Right. So, yeah. Right. Yep. Well, that is good. What a great discussion. Good questions, Dr. Singleton. Thank you.
Yes. Well, great book, Dr. Bukhari. Thank you. You can still always get your book. You know, this thing is always blurry. You can still get this book. Well, I have the blur on, duh. You can still get your book, The Healing Journey. And, you know, check out our website, healingchallenge2022.com. And we will see you all next month with another great topic. Dr. Bukhari, thank you so much. Thank all of you for joining us today. What are your final thoughts and words to us, Dr. Bukhari?
We are halfway through 2022. Can't believe it. Unbelievable. And I just hope that people, I know that people are finding value in the program, and I'm grateful that they are trusting us in this process. So I want to say happy mid-year. And we look forward to July. We're going to ease on down the road. Yeah.
And on that note, everybody, love you. Share, get the replay, and we will see you next month.
Thank you, Dr. Singleton.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.